This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is sponsored by BetterHelp.
This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you can click the YouTube link in our show notes and gaze along as we talk our shit. You might see a face you haven't seen in a while, huh? Inner Hoe Uprising. Welcome to the Inner Hoe Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are she, her, they, and them.
And me, Rodeca, a fat, black, non-monogamous, existentialist femme whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed me here, and my pronouns are she and they.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Deca's back. Hey, it still works.
Hey, yeah,
it
still rhymes. Hey.
How's it feel to
Is this
back?
The Mace version or the original version?
It's definitely the Mace version.
Okay, there
I don't
you
even
go.
Know. Like, what was that sampling? All right, every episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-host talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. You as a listener base has been kind of spoiled lately because we've had great, insightful interview episodes. But today, it's Rodeca and Sam talking that bullshit.
It's us, man.
It's just it. Everything is laid bare
it's
today,
It's not love
bro.
Stories. It's not astrology. It's just me and you, bro.
Talking that bullshit. Today, we've got a hodgepodge of stuff for you. Fun stuff. We got some alleged gay gorillas. We got a spooky season love story, a conversation about quote unquote natural bodies, and much more.
And if you would like to follow along with this conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Inner Hoe Uprising so we can see it and the hashtag pod in so other people can see it. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hoe Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Hoe Uprising on Instagram and Facebook, and you can head to innerhoeuprising.com to pay a hoe or cop some merch.
Yeah. All right, let's get right into things. You said that really fast. I thought you were going to keep talking, so I was just zoning out.
You were like... And I looked up and I was like, it's all right. It's your turn, bro.
I thought I had a reprieve. Anyway, let's get into our first segment.
He humped a male dog. The owner said, this dog must be gay.
Yep, that's right. We got an animals do be gay though for you. This is the segment where we acknowledge and discuss the diverse sexual identities of animals. Today's segment is a gorillas allegedly do be gay though with a side of media literacy because that's just the kind of bitch I am. So today we will be looking at an article or reading from an article from the Daily Mail about two gorillas having oral sex in the boogie down, or should I say blowjob down, Bronx. And that's not from the article. I wrote that, baby.
I really hope they don't adopt that. I don't want to hear anyone else say that. Like, you trying to go down their blowjob down, Bronx.
BX, stand the fuck up. And make your dick stand up at the same time.
Wow.
This happened in the Bronx Zoo specifically. It was just like two gorillas were like sucking dick on the D train or anything like that. Thank you for Shannon Thaler for writing this article. I'll be skimming through the article, not reading the whole thing. So it goes. A frisky gorilla at the Bronx Zoo gave onlookers an X-rated show when he performed oral sex on his excited friend in front of a group of zoo-goers. A father at the zoo with his wife, 4-year-old daughter, son, and niece captured footage of the not safe for work scene, which took place at the New York City Zoo's Congo Gorilla Forest. It is unclear whether the other gorilla is male or female, with the Bronx Zoo declining to comment further when contacted by the Daily Mail. Why did the Bronx Zoo decline to comment on that?
What's going on? No, y'all don't need to know that. Y'all don't need to know these facts. Like,
I don't know how like well the Bronx Zoo has been doing. You know, a lot of places took a hit during the pandemic in regards to revenue and stuff like that. But I personally would purposely go to the Bronx Zoo to see gay gorillas. Like, that's
honestly, like, do you know the thing is though, as a person, it didn't matter what the other gorilla was. I was gonna go and see that because I'm just like, y'all getting down regardless.
I'm here for the dick sucking girl.
I'm here for it. But honestly, it may have been a little bit more incentivized hearing that it was another male.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, because I'm not going to see, like, so, is he just giving a nigga head? I could do that, man. I could give a nigga head.
I could do that. I could do that.
I don't really know where I was going with that. What am I sucking?
That's why I was waiting. I was like,
yeah,
you could technically suck another dick too. So like,
anyway, okay. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, that made no sense.
That's fine.
I'm just upset at the Bronx Zoo for being homophobic.
Yeah, for like, we declined to comment. Like, imagine an email that just like, we declined to comment this time. Like, this is a big secret.
I can definitely fucking imagine that email. I get those all the time. But not about gay gorillas. No. I was shocked, and this is back to the article, I was shocked and had no idea that was a quote-unquote natural act. The man who chose to stay anonymous told the New York Post. What is it with everybody like, I'm sorry, is this not 2021? Don't we have a fucking pride parade here? I know that like structurally we're still homophobic, but...
There's a reason why we have this segment. Everybody is still controversial.
It's taboo.
It's taboo. This is something we don't talk about.
Okay, this is where I get into my spiel. I talk about the word natural a lot when it comes to conceptions and misconceptions about how naturally occurring things regarding sexuality and biological sex are in the animal kingdom. But I just think it's funny how regular people always lean on what naturally, quote unquote, occurs in the animal kingdom when you are a regular ass person, my nigga. You are not a fucking zoologist. Like, I had no idea that was a natural act. I'm sure there's probably animals that like fucking shit and cover themselves in shit. Like, did you know that too? Did you know the ins and outs of the reproductive nature of warblers or seals or like?
It's just like, I think people,
like when it gets gay, people are like, surprised. Oh, shit.
Oh my God. Exactly. I'm surprised by how much people are just like, wow, I didn't know that. And it's just like, there's a lot.
You don't
there's
know. A lot. You don't know most things.
Every time I watch a documentary,
you don't know
I'm
most
like,
things.
Animals are doing shit like this?
They're wild in the fuck. Like, that's why it's the wild kingdom, bro. That's why it's wildlife. Another line that really didn't make any sense. I think I'm just saying things a little bit. I'm sorry.
It's just wildlife.
Like, that is not why it's called.
This is wildlife right here.
That's not why it's called wildlife.
See, I'm just shouting things like, this is what the show's about. This is wildlife. Right.
Coming some weird sort of like anti-hotel.
But what specifically, my thing is like specifically anti-hotel. What did he not know was natural? Giving head?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
You thought that was something that we just made up.
Right, which is like, there's just too many fucking animals for things to not occur. Like, you think in all of the, like, how long has this world existed? How long has animal life existed? Millions, billions of years. In all of the years, no animal put their mouth near another animal's genital.
Exactly.
Like,
it was something
anything
we
that could have
to
possibly
do.
Happened has fucking happened. Like, just get over it, man. I had no idea that was a natural act. Whoa. Yeah. Anyway, okay. The magic, quote unquote, he captured on video proved humans aren't the only ones who get down and dirty for fun. This is where I go into my real fucking spiel.
This is the first time that this proved that? This is wild.
Hold the fuck on, Rodecca. Okay? Hold the fuck on. The word proved is doing a lot in this sentence.
Yeah.
One video of two animals in an entire species doing something that the observers of the video have absolutely no context for doesn't prove anything.
That's where you're wrong,
and
Sam.
It doesn't
it
do
proves
it.
Everything.
It doesn't do it just because some fucking random writer at the Daily Mail said it. Like, that's just like, what? Like, I'm not saying that it was or wasn't a pleasurable act, but it could have been anything. Like, there could have been a fucking bug on his dick, and he's like, oh, yeah.
It could have been us assigning context to it because it
That's
looks like
exactly the what perspective human beings that we, do. Yeah. Assigning context. That's going to come up a little bit later. And by later, I mean, I think the next thing I'm going to say. But thank you for saying that. Human beings assigning to context without context. So the article continues, according to Discover Magazine... What the fuck is Discover? Is that even Discovery? Or is that just something else? Hold on.
Because I just immediately was impressed. And that's sad. That's what shows how easily I'm impressed. I was like, Discover?
Whatever. According to Discover Magazine, there's, quote unquote, there's no reason why an animal should seek sex unless they enjoy it. And therefore, sex is not always simply to reproduce. Once again... Doing a lot with not so much. Here's media literacy time.
That also isn't...
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that factual?
None of that sentence is fucking legitimate, in my opinion.
Because we were talking about, like, I know ducks have, like, corkscrew penises and, like, corkscrew bodies, and cats have, like, hooks in their vaginas to latch on to. Like, that's not necessarily enjoyable for everyone. It's just reproduction. So it's not like they're necessarily seeking pleasure. They're just doing what, like, is that enjoyable
for the penises? To be fair, this says not always simply. So I don't think they're talking about all animals. They're saying for some animals it is pleasurable.
Got it. I thought they were saying, like, every single time an animal copulates.
These animals love to fuck.
I'm like, damn, it's not always pleasure seeking. No. There's a biological drive going on here.
That is true. There is a biological drive. That's what's happening. But I mean, to their point, and, like, before I get into the media literacy of it all, I'm not saying that it is not always pleasurable or that it is always pleasurable or anything like that. I'm just saying you're doing a lot of work and you're, quote unquote, proving a lot of things with very little. Starting with Discover Magazine, that is not a peer-reviewed journal. Like, this isn't based off of a series of reputable studies or anything like that. This is a fucking, it's a fucking magazine. And magazines don't, like, that's just nothing. That's just nothing.
They tried.
No, they didn't. This is a one-off article from 2015 where some anthropologist is positing on things and making a lot of conclusions from their own mind. You know how many times this person has written for Discover Magazine?
Oh no.
Yes.
Not the back.
Yes. No, because I'll look everything the fuck up. This is their only article. This is literally a one-off article in a magazine that is not a peer-reviewed journal or anything like that. So to be citing that in your article as something that's proven is such fucking bullshit. In their article, they say this full quote, which was quoted in the Daily Mail thing. So they say, there's no reason why an animal should seek sex unless they enjoy it. It's just like, do you know, are you an animal psychologist? You're a fucking anthropologist. You study humans. That's what the anthro means, nigga. You don't study non-human animals. You just study human animals. What? Sorry, I care so much about things like this. But that's just who I am as a person. This shit gets on my nerves. They continue in the Discover Magazine article. It is often proposed that an inherent, quote unquote, drive to reproduce explains non-human sexual activity. But that is not an alternative here. If animals possesses, not even the grammar not making sense, girl. Damn. I didn't even realize. All right. If animals possesses an instinct to reproduce, it should say an animal. What the fuck? Okay. If animals possesses an instinct to reproduce, it needs to function somehow. And pleasure is a fairly basic motivator. Like, all of that is good and fine. And yeah, sure, that could make sense, but that's just an assumption. Yeah. And then you're positing it as fact in your fucking article. And the magazine is positing as fact in the fucking title of the magazine. And now Daily Mail is positing as fact. And then fucking niggas on Twitter are going to be like, yeah, animals fuck for fun. Didn't you know? God
damn.
That's
literally how everything
works. That is how everything works now.
You take one line and be like, yeah, that's it. This is fact.
Yes. Okay, so yeah, this is an anthropologist in human sexuality. One of the very flawed things that I find about anthropological study and scientific study in general is people applying their preconceived notions about their life, culture, and experiences and trying to make it fit and apply to things they're observing in nature. Applying your very specific context to a different context that you are not cued in on. Like, human beings fucking do that shit to animals. And they also did it to each other in the first stages of anthropology. Like, Africans don't make music the same way that we make music. They're fucking savages. Like, how are you still doing that shit today as an anthropologist, bro? Just because it's animals doesn't make it any better or more scientifically valid. Why does Sam care so much about this?
That passion is hitting right now.
I'm going to bring it full circle to things that, like, matter more in the grand scheme of things, quote unquote. There are many little moments where something gets passed off as fact and then spirals into something everyone believes is true and does irreparable harm to society. For example, vaccines cause autism. Mm. The BMI is an indicator of health. Or that the Tuskegee experiment was injecting Black people with syphilis. No, the fuck it was not. Please stop saying that. Like, every single day when I use any social media, I can see, like, five examples off rip of somebody just lying about something. And people who honestly, like, get angry at people who, like, spout vaccine misinformation, like, those same people, just retweeting it blindly. Like, I saw, like, the silliest thing today. Somebody was like, human beings have stripes and only cats can see them. And then somebody I followed retweeted, oh, my God, mind blown or whatever. Other people, oh, yeah, it's called Bashalko stripes or something like that. My fucking ass is in bed because I'm like, I don't fucking believe you. I Google it. Wikipedia immediately points me to the direction of where this person got fucked up. Like, there's like a certain way that cells develop across our body. Look more into this because I'm butchering it. And those form along this thing, this pattern, I guess, called Bashalko lines or however it's pronounced.
Okay.
It's invisible to everybody. You know what the Wikipedia article says? That it can be observed in cats and dogs. That means cats and dogs also have Bashalko lines. Not that cats can fucking see it. What is your problem, son? What is wrong with you? I'm
sorry. I think people are just, and I was going to say, I think people are just tired. Like, they just read like three lines and they're like, I'm going to mash this together, make it work.
Well, then don't share it. We're all,
yeah, I think that's what it is. Like, you can spread your misinformation. Like, I have a habit of, I've been doing this since I was a kid because I used to be really smart. And now I just, you know, I just say shit and try and get away with it.
There's a difference between smart and knowledgeable.
Yes, that's true. So for me,
and you're not knowledgeable. Like, that's not what I meant.
not that one.
I just wanted to distinguish what you're talking about.
No, so like I'll just say things like, did you know the moon is like I don't know, has craters on it, right? Oh. Yeah, but like that's probably because I'd be high a lot of the time. So I'll just say shit and people be like, nah, bro. Like, at least people have a degree of skepticism for the things that I say, but they don't carry that over to like things that other people say on the internet. Because for some reason, when you're on the internet, you believe it more as opposed to like somebody in person where you're challenging them and you're like, that doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, I don't know, Google it and we'll learn together.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to like on the internet, it's just like, this celebrity, Summer Walker, has posted a lot of stuff. So therefore, Summer Walker, her Instagram is horrible.
It don't even be celebrities, though. It be regular ass people. And I think, let me round out the point of what I'm trying to say. I don't actually see a world where misinformation about animals fucking or not fucking for pleasure becomes detrimental in the way that, like, the anti-vax and the BMI stuff and all that kind of stuff. But I really do think that we all really need to work on our media literacy and critical thinking skills, because it's just fucking lacking, son. It is lacking. And if you don't think it's lacking in you, it is. It just is. Like, if you're not looking at everything that you see on the internet with, like, okay, I have to validate this, then you just fall in for the okie doke over and over and over again. And sometimes the okie doke is very, like, most of the time I would say the okie doke is benign, but you're just not like flexing a muscle that is very critical, I think, right now.
Yeah.
Another point on
that. We gotta do better, y'all.
Yeah, we do. Another point on that later. It's like, I bet you didn't think animals do be gay, though. It turned into me ranting about media literacy. But guess what? Everything turns into me ranting about media literacy. Okay, back to this fucking article. In fact, gorillas are, quote unquote, most likely to display responses similar to humans, meaning that, yes, they experience orgasms. How did most likely become, yes, this is definitely true? Like, how did you do that in one sentence? And I know that it's the fucking
same sentence.
I know that it's the Daily Mail, but a lot of publications retweeted like this exact same article and all pulled from that exact same Discover Magazine article.
Yo, somebody in Discover Magazine got some pull, man. They're like, look, what we say is fact, so figure it out.
They just have their fucking dicks on the table, son. All right, rounding this article out. Contrary to what many think, gorillas performing oral sex is quite common throughout the animal kingdom, as reported by the Post, with sightings of cheetahs, bears, bats, and other ape species taking part in the racy act too. Bonobos have, which we've talked about in this podcast before, have come to be known as the hippies of apes for their infamously kinky sex lives, where they often engage in the act with monkeys of the same sex. Is it kinky to be gay? I didn't know that that was the definition of kink.
I heard you say kinky and my face was like, oh, is there going to be something else? Are they like...
No, there was no like whips or chains or fucking bondage or leather or...
Yeah, like, I don't know. You were just like, oh, because I guess it's just kinky
to be gay. So, update.
Straight up.
Yeah. gay do be kinky, though.
Infamously kinky. Right, yeah.
They believe, back to the article, they behave as if they read the Kama Sutra, performing every position and variation one can imagine. Steve D. Pinkerton, a professor of psychiatry and behavioral medicine at Medical College of Wisconsin, confirmed in his book Sexual Nature / Sexual Culture.
They be wheelbarrowing out there, like Dirty Sanchez and all that.
What is it? One leg up, one hand on neck, one hand on frontal. That's the bonobos. him referencing the Kama Sutra is like another example of assigning human context to things that you're just like, yeah, they're doing ancient Sanskrit fucking ritualistic sex. That's what they're doing, Steve Pinkerton. Anyway.
You heard it live. This man is a professor of psychiatry, so the behavioral medicine. Wait.
I give people drugs for their mental conditions. So I know all about bonobos and the Kama Sutra, apparently. The last thing about critical thinking, I really want people to critically think about information that you see that immediately confirms your pre-existing notion or what you want to believe. So like this link was floated in the chat or whatever, and I was like really excited because like, of course, me as the host of Inner Hoe Uprising, who is a naturally ridiculous person, would love to talk about gay gorillas who are having sex for pleasure. But just because it confirms what I want it to be doesn't make it that. And I think a lot of the things people see on the internet and like feel compelled to retweet is what they want it to be. But like, life is just so much more nuanced than what you want it to be. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right. I hope that...
I wasn't expecting this.
I hope that helped anyone in life.
Inside. This is nice, you know, for some gay animals, but
sometimes you got to go a little deeper. Sometimes you got to go a little deeper. Speaking of which, up next, we're going to talk about exorcist-Satanist relationships and why fat shaming needs to fucking stop. But first.
So who's down for a smoke sesh? I use resident cannabis enthusiast Rodeca. That's who. This coming Thursday, October 7th at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I am inviting you to join me for a virtual smoke sesh to come chill and chat. Not a smoker? No problem. You're invited regardless, no matter how high or sober you want to be. The only thing you need to do is be a part of our Patreon community. So visit patreon.com/innerhoeuprising, pledge as little as $2 a month, and don't miss out on this week's smoke session. You'll also find our Patreon link in the show notes. Next week, another hoe will have more fun in store. Back to the show.
Let us get into our next segment, and it is called...
Oh my God, what is that? Oh my God, what is that?
This segment is called Fuck Is This, and it's a moment to discuss, rant about, or laugh at the nonsense in the realm of sex, love, dating, gender, and all that good stuff.
Yes.
I didn't have anything else to say, so I stopped talking.
Yeah, I was like, gender.
I wanted to make it fit a little bit more with this. Anyway, fuck me. You go ahead. It's your segment.
So we're talking about Young Baby T. Mm-hmm. If you've been on the internet in the past 2 weeks or so, or really the shade room or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think that this is something that happened in all of the internet.
Exactly. That's why I was like, specifically the subsection of like Twitter and
Black like entertainment pop culture.
So Young Baby Tate is an artist who's popular for the song I Am featuring Flo Milli, which is like, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am that bitch. It's a very affirming song, you know, we out here. She recently went viral after pictures of her performing at Afropunk in Atlanta surfaced online. Now, when I saw the pics, I was like, okay, sis out here fly with her cheetah print, looking good. It's funny because to me, I was like, that's goals right there. You know, like she was looking, I thought she looked great. I retweeted it, all that type of stuff. And there's no reason not to think she looks great because she does. But unfortunately, as the internet does, they took this as a moment to body shame her. And it was really kind of gross. Like the comments were, she was retweeting and clapping back to a lot of people. And a lot of them were like,
well, describe what she looked like or describe the picture.
So she's wearing a two-piece, well, three-piece actually. It's like a coat, mm-hmm. Like a bubble coat with like a crop top, little thong action and some leggings. And her stomach was out. Her hair was cute and a little bob. It was cute.
Young Baby Tate is very cute.
Yes. I don't, me and Sam were discussing how we already follow her. Don't listen to her music, but just the attractiveness got us
not
there.
That the music is bad. I listen to
not
shit
that the music's bad.
From many decades just, ago. We, I'm not always yes. her son.
Yeah, Sam's library is very specific and tailored to Sam. And it's 10 years old. But yes, so she, I have actually heard the song, so, but I just think she's a really attractive person. But people were just, she posted it and she said, this is honestly so iconic. And people were like, well, you could stand to lose 10 pounds. You should, what was this? I'm looking at the tweet right now. You should work on that belly, work that belly off though. Somebody who's like a popular media person who's known for being the mother of Lil Baby's eldest son, responded to the pictures by saying that young baby Tate has a natural body with no discipline, structure, and poor eating habits in their lifestyle. And then she defended her own comment by saying she was only saying to eat healthy, workout, and practice a healthy lifestyle. But I'm sorry, y'all. Let's go to McDonald's. All right. Well, that was kind of shitty. But it's just like, wait, how did you get all of... Yeah. So basically her comment was like...
Who said McDonald's? I'm sorry. I just didn't get
that. Aisha Howard, the mother of rapper Lil Baby's eldest son.
I was just trying to confirm it was the same person who made the top part of the quote. I don't actually care who she is.
Yes, it's the same person. It's the same person.
Who was so what she was like, saying like facetiously. Oh, like, but y'all don't really care. Y'all not ready for that conversation? Let's go to McDonald's.
Let's just go to McDonald's. Exactly.
Oh, fuck off.
Exactly.
Fuck off.
And it's back to this moment of just like, it's funny that you were talking about BMI, but just like, how did you get a whole list of all the things that she doesn't do with
does
her body
or
her lifestyle, all those things exactly from that photo, from a natural body just being up there? And like, for me, I think I saw a lot of articles that were raising the question of, now, do we even, as a media and as people who are consuming media, do we even recognize natural bodies as normal anymore? Or is it just we're so used to seeing BBLs and doctored bodies that it's just like, that's what we consider the, well, not we, but people in general consider the norm or the desirable body, which we do know that's what it's becoming. But at the same time, for someone who, like, granted, Lizzo's out here and we all know what happened with Lizzo and the fat shaming and all type of stuff. But somebody who, I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, this body's normal. This is something that I would aspire to. And even that's not good enough for people. But and Baby Tate's responses were good sometimes, but I will acknowledge the fact that she wasn't really helping, because in her responses she was also shaming people who have plastic surgery. So she was like, I know people who have fake titties are not talking to me about my body. And then it was just like, yeah, but there's nothing wrong with that either. So it's just like, we don't have to drag someone else down to make yourself feel better. But it did start a movement where she posted more photos of the ensemble and was really just like embracing herself. And she was like, as Queen Bey once said, want to see some real ass, baby, here's your chance. Don't know what song that's from, but apparently Queen Bey said it.
It's also Queen B.
B? Did I say Bey?
He said it twice.
It's B-E-Y, though.
Yeah, but her name is Beyonce, not Beyonce.
Damn, I'm about to be shredded by everybody who love, yo, Akua's not here, thank God, but because I just slandered her queen. I'm so sorry, y'all.
It's not slander, you just you had a little misstep.
I said bae. That's the way that I read it in my head, and I apologize. I'm sorry. Queen B.
That is so funny. Sorry.
I hate this. I feel horrible.
Don't feel bad. We're talking about people who are like fucking fat shaming and shit like that, and you feel
horrible.
That's
true.
Like, oh,
that's
please.
True. And I'm sitting here horrible for saying that. Oh, please. Yeah, but she said, shout out to all my natural bellied bodies. I see you. I am you. I love you. No matter what my body looks like, it is mine and I love it. Please go project your insecurities onto a piece of paper, burn it, and throw it away. Then go look in the mirror and tell yourself how much you are loved. And then she also tweeted, which I thought was great. It's called the money. Get money gut. All the brokies should keep their negative opinions to themselves. Granted, I'm broke, but now I'm going to start calling
I
my
do
stomach
appreciate
to get money
get
gut.
Money
like,
gut.
You're not going to say nothing to me. yeah. But the good thing is, like, it started a little Twitter trend where people were posting their bodies and, like, natural bodies mattered and really just kind of uplifting. Go ahead.
No, you can continue. I'm actually going. I'm such a fucking nerd asshole annoyance. I'm just writing down the two things that I want to address.
Well, that's it. It was just, like, basically trying to create some positivity in this movement of people body shaming yet again. And it, you know, the body shaming comes down to a lot of things. Like, I know Coi Leray has gotten a lot of stuff too because she's very skinny and people really shame her for the fact that she's skinny, but she's always like, look, I like my body, I'm happy with where I'm at. And then on top of that, it was the, we were talking about Chloe Bailey at one point in time where she has like a body that is inherently sexual, quote unquote, and people are just like, well, cover that up. So it's just like, when is anything going to be good enough where I can be comfortable in my body? And either I'm fitting this norm with the BBLs and you're saying, oh, look, you're shaming me for having a BBL, or I have a natural body and you're shaming me for that, or my belly is not 100% fat flat and you're shaming me for that. And it just feels like, when is a body ever going to be good enough, and is there any standard that is good enough for everyone nowadays, or anyone really, because there's always somebody always has something to say. But go ahead.
Yeah, I think like the structure of everything, like every fucking form of interlocking oppression, is that there's a very narrow lane of what's good enough. Like, what's good enough is like cis, it's thin, it's fucking white, it's
yeah,
all of these things. So like, yeah, if you don't fit into exactly that in some sort of way, somebody is going to have some fucking shit to say. Because we're all fucking agents of oppression. Unfortunately, because like that's what we were birthed into, and you have to actively not be an agent of oppression every single waking moment of your fucking life and every facet of what you do. And you are going to fail sometimes, but you...
Yeah.
There's a difference between trying to be better and being an asshole about it, or like actually trying to be better and not trying to be better. And you have to realize that these structures even exist to even try to be better. So like little babies, what? I don't care.
Oh yeah, baby mama. I thought you were saying little baby Tate. I was like, damn, you. That's not a name. I got you.
I guess there's a lot of baby in this, huh?
Yeah.
But little babies, whatever, doesn't even realize that like fat phobia is a fucking oppressive structure that we all exist under. So no, she's not going to say the right thing about young baby Tate's body. What you said about how, damn, is it because BBLs are so normalized and da 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 da, and we don't even quote unquote know what a quote unquote natural body looks like anymore? Is that why all of these things are happening, or is such comments are being made? But I feel like we should pull it out even deeper and be like, it's not like BBLs exist within a fat phobic culture. Like, that is, like, the number one like, that's the beginning of where all of this shit lands, you know?
Yeah.
Like, whether or not you're having a BBL for whatever reason or whatever, just, like, whether or not you're fucking dressing in a certain way or participating in a certain thing or whatever, you can never take it out of the fact that you exist within a fatphobic society. So, like, ultimately, that is why young baby Tate's gut is a problem.
Yeah.
Because it's not flat. And fat is quote unquote bad or whatever. And like, we have normalized this really good podcast that I've been listening to called Maintenance Phase, which talks about health and wellness scams and misconceptions and things like that, just like over time in American history or whatever. And there was this point where, not a point, but just like what I said with the BMI thing, like there's just been many points over the course of the development of society as we know it today where misconceptions about what fat means has like fucking evolved into this whole thing where we feel like it's okay to comment on the fat on someone's body and make preconceived notions about what that means. Like, fucking let's all go to McDonald's. Nigga, I have a gut too. I don't even fucking eat McDonald's. Like, and if I did, fuck you. Like, yeah. It's just like, all of these things have been normalized to say that that's okay. And I think that that's like one of the most acceptable forms of outward oppression that everybody's just okay with, where it's like, oh, I'm doing it because I care about your health. No, you're doing it because you're being a fucking asshole. Little baby's baby mama's son. Sorry, I just don't know what her name is.
The baby's involved now. The son's in it.
When you said that, yes, Nicki Minaj is problematic. But when you said all the degrees of separation of who she was, I was like, Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend's balls. Like, that's what it reminded me of. So when everybody was like, the trend on Twitter about who responded with natural bodies, like, let's all post our natural bodies, You can correct me if you've seen otherwise, but I saw people who were like thin, and I consider young baby Tate thin.
I think
just because you have a gut doesn't mean you're not thin. So I saw people with like thin bodies being like, oh, I'm so proud of my natural body. It's like, okay, that's very nice and all that good stuff, but you benefit from fat phobia and other people don't, nigga. So maybe just shut the fuck up for 1 second. I don't know.
I will say I saw a mixed bag, especially in the articles that I looked at. A lot of thin bodies, but at the same time, definitely some bigger people who, like, I think deserve to have a moment where they're like, look at my natural body and stuff like that. And I think also at the same time, I don't know if they're related, but Cardi B was talking about how people were really complimenting her for having lost all the baby weight afterwards and was just like, you know, did you get surgery? We're so proud of you, blah, 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 blah. And she's just like, nah, like, I'm like, no rush. Let's not do all this stuff. I didn't get surgery, even though I think the first time she did, but she still has like, she was talking about her pouch and like how she still has a lot of things going on and like, don't rush it and take your time. But it's just like, why do we need to have these conversations? Why are you expecting someone to bounce back to like it's nothing. You just had a baby. You know what I mean? Or like things like that. And it's just,
did she even like, cause everybody exists within a fat phobic society. So if like a previously pregnant person is trying to lose their baby weight or whatever, and they make that public goal, then I'm not going to be like, you're perpetuating fat phobia. You just had a baby. Sit the fuck down. Cause like, I don't think the structure is you. You can do that. But did she even have that as a goal? Like, did she say that? So like, shut the fuck up. Like, what are you proud of? She didn't ask you to do anything or give any support on this. What?
And that's why she was just like, she kind of like backed up and was like, I don't know why y'all are complimenting me, because this is not what I was trying to do at all. I'm just chilling. Like, I'm literally just chilling. And had to like say like, there's no reason to make this a goal. You just pushed a whole human out of your body. Like, chill.
Yeah. And like grew one for like 9 months.
Yeah.
What? Were the same people saying, I'm proud of you for doing that? Man. We are fucked.
Yeah, I was just about to say, yo.
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, I think about the end of the world a lot. I say it every episode. You fucks, no matter what it's about. And sometimes I feel optimistic and sometimes I don't. And I do think that optimism is important to, like, the revolution and changing things and stuff like that. So I really do try to be optimistic. But sometimes it's just like,
it's hard.
There is so much wrong and you niggas are not even fucking trying, bro. Not you who listen to the podcast. I do think that you're trying. I think that maybe it's the vocal minority. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm trying to backtrack from it's me believing that we are fucked.
It's okay. You know what? Sometimes you have to have moments where you're just like tired and you're just like, damn, look how much work. Every time you're optimistic about something and then someone proves that there's a lot more work to do and things that you didn't even think that you need to have a conversation about. And then you're reminded like, no, yeah, people still think this way. And a large majority of people still think this way. And it's really sad.
I just be wanting to live in a cabin in the woods. All right. Well, up next, we're talking about what happens when a Satanist gets together with a fucking exorcist or something along those lines. That's not completely true. But first, speaking of Satan and demons and all of that kind of stuff, but not that kind of stuff, the trauma of your past anxiety kind of demons. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Is it perhaps the fact that you are living through a devastating major historical event every month or so, or that you feel deeply we are fucked? I obviously can relate to that. And I can also refer you to my favorite online therapy service to help sort out my apocalyptic we are fucked kind of feels. Seriously, I'm not using BetterHelp anymore, but like with my therapist, I would be like, yo, I just don't believe in humanity. And she would help me with that every week. So that service is called BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely. purely online. There is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account at any time and send a message to your therapist. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. Also, this is not in the copy, but like as a subscriber to BetterHelp, you're also offered free access to all of their webinars and stuff like that. Last year, I was going through a really, really heartbreaking time with like grief and stuff like that. And I used mad of their webinars to like get me to a much better place. As you can see, a nigga is thriving out here. Very helpful.
I need that.
Not to mention, BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp, along with we here at the Inner Hoe Uprising podcast, want you to start living a happier life today. You can visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. And while you're at it, you can visit betterhelp.com/IHU. That's better, H-E-L-P. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. Once again, special offer for Inner Hoe Uprising listeners. You can get 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/IHU. That's betterhelp.com/IHU, H as in Ho, U as in Uprising. Let's get back to the show. There is a bump for this segment, and I will, in fact, play it. So it is spooky season, and I do think that this is a very fitting story. Exorcist Catholic bishop resigns after falling in love with satanic erotica author.
Like, it's great.
Perfect. We will be discussing an article in The Guardian written by Michael Bamadelli and some other articles too. So you'll hear about it. Subheading of this article, the couple met after Bishop Xavier Noble started studying demonology, and now his colleagues allege that he's been possessed by evil spirits coercing him away from the church. A Spanish bishop and exorcist has stepped down to start a new life after falling in love with a divorced author of satanic themed eroticas. Netflix.
Yo, this is it. This is an idea.
I'm watching it immediately. Even if it's bad, I'm going to finish the first season at the very least. Xavier Noble, 52, announced last month that he was resigning from his post as Bishop of Solsona in Catalonia for quote unquote strictly personal reasons. Which, yeah,
very fair personal. Enough.
I mean, this is your life. This is a line that I moved up, but I felt like it was relevant to say it sooner rather than later. So Noble, who has defended gay conversion therapy and described abortion as euthanasia and genocide, is out of step with the mood of the church under Francis. So, yeah, in case you were like, yeah, I'm rooting for this guy.
I was. Now I'm just like, okay.
Well, maybe he's changed. Whatever. Maybe he's changed.
Yeah, maybe the satanic author. You know, the satanic author is out here.
Right.
Putting some stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. We gotta, if they were black, we would interview them on the podcast, but they are not, so we can't. Even if they were like not white, but they are.
But they're
yeah.
White.
On Monday, it was revealed by Religion Digital, a news site, that Noble had fallen for Silvia Caballo, a divorced mother of two. Noble reportedly said he had fallen in love and wanted to do the right thing. Caballo, 38, is writer of erotic novels featuring characters quote-unquote possessed by the demon of lust, a fact which has raised eyebrows among Noble's former colleagues. So I did a little bit more research. I'm doing my research.
That's not kind of hot. I'm kind of like, ooh.
Yeah. I mean, if this was a Netflix series, I would watch it. And if it was a porn, I would also watch it. So if this if itself was an erotica, I would read it. So let's go to some of Noble's former colleagues. And this is colleague in the very broad sense. This is just another Catholic Monsignor, which I guess is a...
Got it.
What the fuck is a Monsignor?
I said got it, too.
Is that a priest?
I was like...
Is that another bishop? Okay, well, this is a different Monsignor. And it's from Exorcist Diary number 155. Another exorcist leaves from CatholicExorcism.org. Monsignor Stephen Rossetti writes, I was saddened to hear of another exorcist who left our ranks, which is just, this is, I love subcultures. It doesn't matter what the subculture is. Exactly. I just love the tea in all subcultures of people. Like,
you saw me as soon as you said, I was like,
exorcists are just leaving the church. Like, why are they doing? I want to know more.
In droves? What's going on?
So another exorcist has left our ranks. Spanish bishop and exorcist Xavier Noval admitted falling in love and intending to marry a divorced woman. Man, the fact that she is divorced is mad. Damn.
Divorce has been mentioned like four times. I think that's more important to them than
traumatic gay conversion therapy that leaves niggas scarred and fucking needing actual therapy. Yeah. It is reported that she writes, quote unquote, satanic tinged erotic novels for a living. Similarly, I know of more than one priest who left the ministry because of alleged sexual relationships with possessed or oppressed women. Imagine being called that.
How many?
I don't have all the tea.
I gotta
go undercover as in a convent and kind of like pull everything out. Somebody needs to do some deep investigative work on this. Is it an accident that these women had a connection to the dark world at all? I will not leave the link in the show notes, but if you want to continue, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti. So that was, I just really like possessed and oppressed women. That could be an episode title. However, Noval is likely no stranger to the demonic, this is back to the article, having been among the handful of Spanish bishops to decline having an exorcist appointed in 2015, opting instead to perform the role himself. So he was into it, you know? He was into the fucking dark side. He was saying that he was trying to exorcise those demons, but maybe he just wanted to be close to those demons.
Yeah, maybe that was his in. Like, yeah, I'm just going to study some demonology, but really it's like, what's going on over here? You know, it's lit.
He definitely thought it was lit. He reportedly met Caballo, a psychologist who had studied sexology. I don't know what that is. Yoga, Catholicism, and Islam after he began studying demonology. I think that's a mistype. But I think that that's interesting as well, that they were both interested in Catholicism and demonology. It sounds like the good foundation of a relationship.
Yeah.
Her books are described by her publisher as turning, quote unquote, all our moral and ethical considerations upside down. In Gabriel's Lust, Caballo's most recent book, it promises prisons, psychopathy, sex, that's S-E-C-T-S, sadism, madness, lust, and little by little, as the story progresses, the unreality of immortality and the crude struggle between good and evil, between God and Satan, between angels and demons.
That's kind of lit. I was about to say.
I wish I spoke Spanish. I wish I spoke Spanish, because I would definitely have read a little bit. But unfortunately, I do not speak Spanish. Shout out to AP Spanish. Why was I in that class? but I did look at some reviews from some of her other books on Amazon. And I do have Google Translate, so I was able to translate them to English. And it's not looking good for Caballo.
Oh, no.
So here are two reviews. Loose story. Lousy narrative. It's an excuse to put a lot of bad sex and little creativity. I have no interest in knowing how this ends.
Not being a good writer. No.
It's like all the ideas are there, but the execution, unfortunately, is not it.
Here's
another one. So this one uses the word cutre, which means, according to Webster's translation from Spanish to English, lacking style or good quality in an embarrassing or silly way. Cutre. And so the review writes, it is a cutre novel. It is a cutre novel. It does not add anything interesting. I think a 12-year-old could have done better. Finished reading it and straight to the trash. So that's, I don't know, man. I hope she's not a real Satanist. She listened to this like, let me fucking hex these bitches. She's not doing a good job. According to those two people. If you have read Caballo's work and you think otherwise, please write in ihupodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
Noval, back to the article. Noval had been a star. Nova had been seen as a star on the rise within Spain's Catholic Church after being appointed as the country's youngest bishop in 2010 when he was just 41. However, his ascent stalled, the Times reported, with the election of Pope Francis in 2013. Francis has edged the Vatican towards, quote unquote, and that's me putting the article in quote unquote, more liberal stances than though, I mean, they are more liberal, so yes. More or less speaking, stances than those espoused by his traditionalist predecessor, Pope Benedict the... what the fuck is a Roman numeral, son?
16th?
Yeah, that's what that says. Thank you. I was going to be like, XVI. And
figure it out.
Yeah, and that's where like that line about gay conversion therapy came in the original article. I just want to say that Pope Francis... Pope. Olivia Pope. From everything that I've gathered, why do I keep saying probe? Probe. Anally probe Francis.
Probed.
From what I gather, Pope Francis has endorsed same-sex couples and has showed quote-unquote concern over gay conversion therapy, but never outright denounced it. But I guess... okay. What's this guy's name?
I guess that's a step?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, I'm not Catholic. I don't have a dog in the fight. But I guess that's where... What is his name? Noble and Pope Francis.
They differ exactly. Because, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Any thoughts about that?
No. I just, I wish that she was a better author so that it could be like, man, this is like an award-winning.
It's according to two people.
Two people, yeah.
But so I didn't see any good reviews, but also I am like navigating English-speaking Google and all that kind of stuff as opposed to Spanish-speaking Google. So,
you know, it's good that they have a common ground.
They
love demons. They have their conversation. And to step down and to say, hey, this is not for me anymore. I'm in love and I now see the world in a different light. I'm kind of with it, you know?
It's very interesting how he sees it in so much of a different light, though. That is like...
So much that it's like, I'm
that's
out.
That's 180.
I'm out.
Like, I was performing exorcisms. Now I want to deal in someone who makes work about...
demons being in people and like, yeah, you know,
and I don't even know what her stance on that is.
Yeah.
Like, sure, she's writing. I don't really think, honestly... Satanist. She's not a Satanist, or okay. It doesn't say that, right? Like, she doesn't practice the religion Satanism, which I don't think even is actually about demons. I don't know. I'm not a Satanist. I don't know. If you are, igpodcast@gmail.com, let us know. But she's just writing works that deal with Catholicism, so I don't even think that she's like
it's not really that wild.
Yeah,
it's really not.
It's not that wild that they're together in the grand scheme of things, other than the fact that he took a vow to be a virgin or never be married or something like that for the rest of his life, and now he it's like, no, I guess he wants to marry her because he wants to do things the quote-unquote right way. So have many things changed? I don't know. Could she be homophobic herself?
Yeah,
maybe. Could he be like doing some like outside of the church fucking underground shit where he's just like, yo, I'm performing exorcisms now? And Pope Francis can't stop me. Yeah, we got to follow this guy closely.
There's a scandal. I was about to say, I'm going to look out for them again to see like what's going on, you know? This is not over. I could tell.
Yeah. Well, that has been a really fucking random episode of Inner Hope.
Very random. Every three random rants and articles that, you know, I'm back.
Not that cohesive.
We're here, y'all.
But
okay.
Yeah, that's be like that sometimes. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good.
If this episode made you feel good, let's talk.
Because, yeah, right. IGpodcast@gmail.com. Because what made you feel good about it? Made you question yourself in a good way. I think that could have happened or positively moved you in any sense. Please leave us a rating by going to Apple Podcasts. Leave 5 stars for the hoes and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate all of you.
And if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Innerhoe Uprising without the G on Twitter, Innerhoe Uprising on Instagram and Facebook, and you can head to innerhoeuprising.com to pay a hoe or cop some merch. If you'd like to follow me, Rodeca, I am at The Darkest Timeline on Instagram, and my Finsta is Fat Black Snack.
There we go. You can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter. And reminder that we have a special offer for Innerhoe Uprising listeners looking to exorcise their demons. You can get 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/IHU. Have a lovely motherfucking week because you deserve to. Goodbye.